When I'm in New York, I always have my radio tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM. When I visit my family in Szczecin, Poland, I listen on the web at WBAI.org. Halo, na imię Michania. Gdy jestem w Nowym Jorku, moje radio jest zawsze nastawione na stację WBAI 99.5 FM. W czasie, kiedy odwiedzam rodzinę w Polsce, w Szczecinie, słucham stacji WBAI w internecie na WBAI.org.
WBAI is a niet commerciële zender, gesponsord door de luisteraars.
Ciao, sono Letizia, e quando sono a New York, ascolto WBAI su 99.5 FM.
Nitwa Jacqueline Murekatete, ndi umureskapi wa genocide y'Abatutsi yabaye muri 1994 mu Rwanda.
Murimo kumva. Kukatu sam v New York, a zvinegi slušam WBAI 98.
Mi nombre ta Ilse, anto sam permiti mi radio sintonisa na 99.5 FM, WBAI.
What language do you speak when you call back home and talk to your grandmother or cousins? Join WBAI's ongoing community outreach and produce a station ID for us in your native tongue. You can contact the program coordinator, Michael G. Haskins, at wbaiannouncements@gmail.com. Let's celebrate each other.
I'm Diane Rogers, an intern here at WBAI. If you're listening to this right now, it's evident that you appreciate a wide variety of cultured programming. From news to health to art, WBAI has it all. And now more than ever, we need your support to help WBAI recover from the devastating effects of Hurricane Sandy. You can do this by participating in our holiday drive beginning December 5th and ending on December 15th. Phone lines are temporarily down, but for more information on how to donate, email gm@wbai.org or kdavis@gmail.com. Or just log on to wbai.org. Your support is greatly appreciated.
My name's Chris Hedges. I'm the author with the cartoonist Joe Sacco of Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt. And when Joe and I are in New York, we always listen to WBAI 99.5 or WBAI.org because we want to stay informed and not get fed the commercial lies of the corporate media.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Trying to get
33 cents a day. Not much, is it? Loose change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that 33 cents a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as 33 cents a day, $10 a month, you can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative and diverse programming on the air.
On the air. That's what we do here. Hey, guess what? Don't look at your watch. Don't look at your watch. It's 7 o'clock. But it's 8 o'clock someplace out there in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. But today we have a special show for you here. And I'll let you know, this is WBAI New York 99.5 FM, also streaming on the web at wbai.org. And today is December the 5th, 2012. You know, these guys with their distractions. And you know what? When it's 8 o'clock, you usually get it. But today, it's 7 o'clock, and you're getting it. Extra personal computer shoe this Wednesday. Nice day out there, too. Take it away.
Good evening, Stevie, and all you people out there listening to us, both of you. This is Joe King, and welcome to the Personal Computer Show. I know it's 7 o'clock, and I know that we're normally on at 8 o'clock, but, you know, the hurricane did flood most of Wall Street, and it flooded some of our programming plans right away. Hank is with me here, and on the West Coast, maybe on the West Coast, David Perry is with me. Is he here yet, Stevie?
He's on West Coast time.
He's not on yet. But he will be after a while. I see his picture on your screen. And that's pretty good. We're also going to have as a special guest coming to us from deep in the heart of Texas, Joanne Witt. And from another special guest, somebody you know quite well, he of the famous defensive computing concept, coming to you from the not-flooded Upper East Side, that would be Michael Horowitz, our webmaster. We have quite a good program scheduled for you. There's lots of interesting information. We're going to be talking about malware. We're going to be talking about Chromebooks. We're going to be talking about Windows 8. But we're also going to be talking about ways in which you can help make sure that we stay on the air. Hank?
You know, we have a pledge number, and this pledge number is a little different than all the other ones that we've given out in the past. The number is 617-580-6021. Let me repeat that. 917-580-6021. And we have a number of premiums that we're offering, but the foremost one that we're going to ask you to consider is the WBAI Buddy.
What's that, Hank?
Well, the BAI Buddy is like, listen, we're trying, it's a different concept in fundraising that we're embarking on. And what we're saying is make a pledge of, let's say, $10 or more each month. And you give your credit card, and we would debit your credit card $10 or more each month. And you don't have to feel guilty whether you give or not the following month or the following month after that for a year. That's a different way of doing it. And if you do that, one of the benefits of that is that if we have enough people doing that, we eliminate many of the extra fundraising sessions we have.
You know, Hank, there's a funny way of looking at that. I was talking to somebody about the concept of the BAI Buddy, and she said to me, well, that means that the equivalent of one cup of Starbucks coffee a week. She said, I can give up one cup of
coffee. No. It's, are you kidding me? You mean if I go to work and I work 5 days a week, and I say $10, $10 a month.
That's one cup of coffee a week.
$2.50 for a cup of coffee?
Sure, Starbucks, absolutely. Well, actually, it's more than that. But
where have you been, Hank?
Hank, no, you got to understand.
No, wait a minute.
You got to understand, Hank is coming to us from the depths of the 19th century.
No. I go to that a Double D place called Dunkin' Something.
That's then they're selling a dollar coffee.
It's you get a lot more coffee.
Yeah, but they're selling a dollar coffee. I said okay. Starbucks because Starbucks, whether or not it's better coffee, it certainly is better marketed coffee.
Well, the coffee actually tastes different, and is a.
I don't care about the coffee. The point being that if you can go without a cup of coffee 1 or 2 days a week, that could pretty much assure your support of one of the very few stations here in the metropolitan area on which you're liable to hear that dirty word. Truth. Truth yeah. Stevie, is truth a dirty word?
It's five letters.
Yeah, well.
Well, I look at it differently, Joe. That really works out to $120 for the year. And if you divide 360 days by 120, okay, it comes out to 30 cents a day. Now, that's more like my kind of coffee, at 30 cents.
I can't afford 30 cents a day, but I can go for $2.50 a week.
Okay. Well, we do have this buddy system, and the phone number to call is 917-580-6021. And if you happen to be outside of the calling area, you can go to WBAI.org, and you can use that. Now, someone said, you know, before we had gone on the air, we were saying to the management here, you know, we're doing this WBAI buddy system. If we don't have phones, how do they make a pledge? They said, well, you can go to WBAI.org. And then I said, you know, according to the statistics that I have, only 73%. Now, only sounds like a big number. You know, only is big when you say 73%. It means over 20% of the people do not have a computer. If that's the case, how do they make a pledge? Well, there is a phone, 917-580-6021. Or, you know what? Just say you want to do it, and you could write to WBAI-FM 99.5 and 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005.
10th floor. Put on the envelope, 10th floor. 10th floor.
Okay. Now, we have a couple of other regular computer premiums.
Wait, before you give those out, Hank, I want folks to understand that this is not the regular time slot for the personal computer show. A lot of you were expecting to hear a alternate medicine show. Others of you were expecting to hear the hacker show from the guys at 2600. That's off the hook. They'll be back next week, and the hacker show will be on at another time. But as I said at the top of the show, because of the hurricane, a lot of things have been changed, a lot of things have been damaged, a lot of things have gone a different direction. But one thing you should all remember, we need you to keep us on the air. We need you to support free radio here in the metropolitan area. There is no other programming like this where you can hear early in the morning, you can hear Democracy Now!, late in the evening, you can hear the personal computer show. And in between that, you have a great diversity of programming, the kind of things you cannot hear on any other station in the metropolitan area. WBAI, what have we been on the air, Hank, for about 50 years now at WBAI?
I think it was since, BAI's been on the air more than that. In the late 40s, but it became affiliated in 1960.
It became affiliated with the Pacifica Foundation.
Right.
It's a program that deals with peace and truth and justice. And there's only one way that you can really indicate that you don't like what's heard on all the other stations, and that's by supporting this, your station, here in New York.
Now, what's important is that WBAI, we stream all the shows on the internet. Many of the producers had made their shows available. It's archived. If you go to WBAI.org, you can get some of the archived shows. I also know that you can get the shows from the individual producer sites like PCRadioShow.org, which is our website, and we can direct you to all the shows that we've had, like going back a couple of years. But what's important is that our mainstay is still in the metropolitan New York area with a 90-mile radius with a 50,000-watt transmitter. That means that, you know, with a one end to the other end, it's 180 miles atop of the Empire State Building, and that reaches a large audience. The cost of that space, by the way, for the transmitter, and it's a little tiny room, and we have our transmitter in there, it's costing us a fortune. But, you know, by the way, it's costing us a little bit under $600,000 a year. Now, some people would say, well, that's a lot of money, $600,000. Why not go to a different site? Well, if you go below the Empire State Building, the broadcast radius is a lot less. Some people would say, well, do you really need 50,000 watts? Hey, we have a big audience out there. We want you to be part of a big audience to get the truth, to get an alternative method of programming. So that's why we have it. It's almost $600,000 for that transmitter space. Then we have a studio space requirements, which is over $400,000. Those two items alone is over $1 million. We can do it cheaper, but you won't be able to hear us. You know, there are people writing to us. I know that some of them get us on the internet stream. Like, Joe, I know that you got some mail recently from Savannah, Georgia, another one from Houston, Texas, another one from Palo Alto, California. But I do know that when some of the people are calling in, they're calling in from Allentown, and I would be shocked and say, wait a minute, you're calling from where? Allentown? You mean you can hear us out there? Some people, I know that some people can get the station in Poughkeepsie, which is upstate New York. So it's important that we have this capability of reaching out to a wide audience. Now, the reason why I say that is because one of the things that we're very proud of, Joe and myself, with the Personal Computer Show, is that we have the capability of giving you alternative computing news that you just normally don't get.
Hank, while Verizon has a term...
one way, and I just can't think of it any other way. Hey, listen,
you know,
David, I understand that you want to talk about how malware entry points are...
It is your system, yeah. Everybody has a tendency to think of malware as being one thing, but are we going to do that right now? Are we
yeah,
talking
tell you what.
Pledge, right?
Yeah. No, well, you know what? I got Stevie pulling cables, and I got Joe, trying to get something else going. Let's do some shop talk, okay?
Well, let's do
some shop talk.
All right, everybody assumes that malware comes on your system in a fixed sort of way. They think, well, I'm browsing the web, or I get email, and then you go, well, you're infected with malware. And they go, well, I don't see the email. What email was it? Or, you know, what did it look like? And it's there are actually a ton of doors into your system that you're not thinking about. And the first one isn't in your system at all. It's in your mind. It's your gullibility, your willingness to click on a link that says, this is the bank, click on this link. When you do something like that, you are giving permission for the malware to enter your system. And sometimes people will go ahead and give permission, even though their antivirus software says, no, this is malware, don't go there. They go, no, I want to see it. And they get infected. That is absolutely the most common way to get infected with malware is to be social engineered into it.
Dave,
can you hear me?
I can't hear you, Joe.
I can't hear anybody but Hank.
All right, can everybody hear me now?
Sure.
We're having a technical problem. I've just been notified that we were completely off the air. The stream was down. The broadcast at the Empire State Building was down for about 7 minutes. So I hope there are folks who have now tuned back in. I understand that the systems are now back up again, but from about 7:13 to something around 7:20 or 7:21, we have been down. So whatever you guys have been talking about for the first 7 minutes, understand that nobody but you have heard yourselves.
Hey, Dave.
Well, then I want to take this as a moment to say, please, please, people who are hearing us now, if anyone's hearing us on the internet or on the radio, that WBAI really needs some support right about now. We are pledging tonight. We are having a pledge drive tonight. And you really need to give us a call at, what's the number?
It is 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. And our phone service is all limited, so if you get a busy signal or if there's no pickup, be patient. Keep calling. 917-580-6021. Now, Dave, you gave a teaser, and you know what? Let me leave it as a teaser because I want to bring someone else on the air, and
hey,
I'm going to have you continue with what you were talking about a little later, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Because we have another colleague of ours from Houston, Texas. Joanne, are you there?
I am here.
Ah,
and hi, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
And how's the weather where you are, anyway?
Well, it finally cooled down. We went from the 80s down to the 70s today.
Oh, 70. By the way, I was told by my wife, says you better wear something heavy because tonight it's going down to the low 30s.
Well, you'll miss it, Joanne. Were you listening to us on the air?
I was listening, and I also was listening when there was no sound.
You were listening. I just wanted to confirm that there was no sound elsewhere than wasn't just New York City that was dark.
By the way,
yeah, I was listening to the streaming, but it picked up at an opportune time because Dave was just saying something that he was talking about malware, so you were able to like pick up the conversation.
Uh-huh. You see, you know why we had dead air? It was waiting for you to come join us in the conversation. Hey, Joanne, I understand that you got yourself a nice new machine, a Lenovo X230.
That is true.
And you're running Windows 8 on it. How do you find that?
Well, you know, I must have had my head under a rock, probably because I don't watch regular TV, and I had no idea what Windows 8 was like. So when I opened up the computer and I saw a completely new interface, I was a little bit befuddled, but I've been through this before, and after my initial frustration of trying to figure out where everything is, I'm starting to really enjoy the operating system. Now, I want to take a step back before I talk any more about it, because as most of the people know, I assume that, you know, this was an operating system that was written for tablets as well as PCs. And the X230 is not a tablet. So there, you know, there are a little bit of kinks in getting used to using a very graphical operating system that assumes you're going to be using, you know, your finger and using your mouse instead.
Joanne, let me just interrupt to say that people buying a new machine today, if you have Windows 8 on it, it does not mean that it has the multi-touch capability on the screen. And you have to ask. And you may be disappointed to find out it doesn't have it. And people buying a desktop system has that same problem. By the way, there's been a huge discount on these LCDs because they're not multi-touch.
Okay, and I purposely did not buy a machine with a touch screen.
Oh, why? Why? You didn't want it at all?
Well, it's the first generation for a lot of these. And I felt that I would rather not spend the extra incremental money on it at this point in time, let the kinks be worked out, and the next time I go to refresh my laptop, I can get the touch.
Now, with Windows 8, what came up first, the Metro look, what they used to call it, or the Windows look?
The Surface look. That
oh, okay, it's called Surface. It used to be called Metro. Okay.
Everything is like, yeah, Metro. Everything's like beeping at you. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And
I looked at that and said, where is the operating system?
So did you dwell much on that Surface look, or you really went straight to the Windows look?
Well, first I was setting it up, so I needed to go to the underlying Windows environment that I was more used to in order to get things set up and find where things were. Once I got my initial program set up, and I'm not done loading everything yet, I went back and I started to play with that interface, and I'm sort of enjoying it.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let me ask you. How did you not get upset not finding the start button?
You know, somebody sent me directions on how to make a mock start today, and I decided that I'm not going to do that. I decided that I'm just going to try to understand how this operating system is working and what the, you know, what's behind it before I start tweaking it too much. What I did get upset about and what I changed immediately was that it's very difficult to shut it down. It assumes that it's always on. It's either in sleep mode or it's always on. So there were several steps. So I found directions and I set up a shutdown on my regular desktop.
And are you using that for any of your work, or you're not ready to do that yet?
I have it operating in tandem with the other two laptops that I have sitting in front of.
That's cheating. That's cheating, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm loading stuff on. I've loaded all the data, and I'm loading the programs on. And today, because of the conversation with you, Hank, I found out that I could turn the compatibility mode on. So if a program wasn't operating, there was a way for it to go through a routine, and it automatically set it up. So one of my programs wasn't working. I went in, found the file system, and clicked on, you know, compatibility application. I forgot.
Joanne?
I have a question.
Yeah,
I have a question.
Go ahead, David.
Why by default does it not come up in compatibility mode?
It was all set up for me. You know, I didn't have a choice. I would have had to pay extra to do an old Windows, so I don't know. It's assuming that you're on a tablet.
Yeah.
So,
any PC program should come up, any PC operating system should come up in compatibility mode, by my way of thinking.
No, not necessarily, Dave, because one of the things that is really not, most people are not aware of, is that you can run old programs that only run on older operating systems. And the reason why it can't come up automatically is it could be Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7, Windows 95. You have to indicate which mode it's in. In other words, when they talk about compatibility, you have to define which Windows, old version of Windows you're talking about.
This seems to me to be beyond the reach of many users. But I'm sorry,
okay,
go ahead.
And
tell us about the keyboard.
Hank and Dave, just to take a step back, I didn't have to tell it what operating system. It has a once I can get to the application, when I right-click on the application in the file directory, it enables me to run a program that it goes out and it tries it automatically. I didn't have to tell it which operating system.
I want to interrupt for just a second because I hope everybody's finding this as interesting as I'm finding it. There's no place else in the radio dial that I can go to and get this kind of information. It's sort of, somebody told me that they read a column in one of the papers today saying that they really hope that this is not going to be another Groundhog Day. I've been there with Windows so many times when it just, Windows Vista, Windows Millennium, there have been too many Windows that just weren't necessary, and I feel sometimes like I'm going through this all over again. If you're finding this discussion as interesting as I'm finding it, well, why don't you give a call to 917-580-6021. That's 917-580-6021. And you can tell the folks on the other end of that dial, of that line, that you really are enjoying this discussion and you'd like to make sure that it stays on the air. You'd like to become a WBAI buddy and you'd like to give $10, $15, $20 a month every month. Or maybe you would just like to get one of the premiums that Hank has so graciously put together for us, the toolkit, the recovery disk, the bypass, password bypass, the Trinity. There are a lot of things that you can give from $50, $75, $100, or if you feel really flush, you can become a BAI buddy for any amount of money that would be automatically deducted from your account on a monthly basis. Why not give a call over to 917-580-6021. That's 917-580-6021. And make a pledge. Become a member of the WBAI family. Become a member of the WBAI buddies. Or just pledge whatever you can. You don't need a premium. Just give us some money so that we can stay on the air. I know that everybody's been hit up this season for so many good and worthy causes. The people in Queens and Brooklyn and New Jersey who were devastated by the superstorm Sandy, people who have been out of work for so many years with no help from their government, the people who can barely make a go of it as far as eating. But for those of you who have been lucky, for those of you who have been blessed by God or by whatever you feel that you should be blessed by, for those of you who have the money, please, please call 917-580-6021 and make a pledge. Stevie, did you hear what Cory Booker did?
No, what did Cory Booker do now? Living on a limited budget?
Well, it's more than a limited budget. He's trying to prove that it's a real struggle to eat, much less feed your family, on the allowance that the government gives you for food stamps. And he's making it go. If everybody in Congress who knew, they knew so much better than we do everything, let them do it.
Come on. They only want the 2% to, going to hold the whole country 98% hostage because of the 2%?
Not 98%. I thought it was 47%.
No. It said 98% of the people will benefit if they, you know this story. Come on, it's in the news.
I don't read the news.
Come on.
I just make it up as I go along.
Joe, you do that very well.
I know. People like Hank really believe that. They believe that I make it up as I go along. But you know, out on the street, there's a lot of people without shoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sound like my dad there, you know?
Is he an old crotchety old person with...
No, he's passed on some time ago, but he used to say...
Oh, like Joe.
Because I had no shoes. Like Joe.
Oh, okay. Boy. With friends like mine, you don't need enemies.
My dad used to say that, too.
Well, since we have Joanne on the air, let me just...
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Hey, Joanne, is it true that nobody in Texas is worth a damn?
Oh, That is so mean.
I really don't even know how to reply to that.
Hey, Joanne, on this Windows 8, if you can basically serialize your experience with it, and your first experience basically is, it's a how would you summarize this first look at it? Because we expect that we're going to get you on the air to talk about other things that you find with Windows 8. How would you summarize this first look?
Absolute panic at first, because I was looking at a menu that was called Start that was completely graphical, and I couldn't figure anything out. And then as I've started to use it and find my way around, and I'm seeing that applications are context sensitive, so that the submenus that come up have to do with it, I'm starting to really like it. It's making sense.
Okay.
Sometimes it perplexes me because the underlying operating, some of the visuals underlying are the same as we were used to in Windows 7. So mm-hmm. you go back to the old interface, and it gets a little confusing.
Well, I had the sense that you were getting along well with it because you did not call me up to say, where can I get a copy of Windows 7? So what I would go ahead.
Yeah, I actually have a backup copy of Windows 7 for emergencies, but I'm starting to enjoy it. In fact, I have the Start screen up right now, because it's not that the Start screen is gone, it's that what they call Start now is that graphical desktop.
Oh, now, let me ask you, do you still have this, now that they're delivering Windows 8 machine, do you still have a hidden partition you have to deal with? The hidden partition, which is the operating system stored away.
I haven't.
You better start saving it.
Oh, I did already.
Oh, you did already.
I did a save.
Okay. Now, the other thing you told me was that you were also looking at a Targus USB hub. What is a hub?
Okay, so a few months ago, I had a problem I had to solve because I take my laptop, I take a laptop with me on the road, and my new machine is supposed to replace the one I was taking on the road, but the one I was taking on the road did not have enough USB ports. In fact, this one won't either, to connect all my peripherals. So I got an external USB hub that gave me four additional ports, and it has an electrical plug, so I can plug it in, so it'll give me the power to be able to use the USB 2 port, so I can put several peripherals.
Oh, this is not USB 3.0.
I didn't have any USB 3.0 devices to test it with. I believe it will support USB 3.0.
Oh, well, can you find out for us? Because
I can look it up.
In other words, can you plug in a USB 3.0 hub into a USB 2.0 and expect it to maybe not act as fast, but be able to run USB 3.0?
No. It'll recognize the USB 3, but it will run at the USB 2 speed.
No, I'm saying that it may be USB 2.0 speed, but
yes.
3.0 peripherals, though.
Okay. Joanne, did you get the i7 on your 230? Is this an i7 processor?
Yeah, I went with the i5.
You do not have USB 3.0 on your 230, then?
It says that there's a USB 3.0 on one of my ports.
No,
according to the specs.
Yes, I went over the specs on the X230. There is a USB 3.0 port. And there's also an HDMI port, too.
Yeah, but it's a strange HDMI port. I haven't been able to find that cable yet in the secondary market.
Because there's a confusion when people talk about HDMI. Are you talking about HDMI or are you talking about micro HDMI?
Well, yeah. Well, it turns out that Lenovo calls it a mini, but it's really a micro. So I ordered a mini from Amazon, but it came and it doesn't fit. And now I'm not sure. So I'm going to physically take the machine into a store and look at the cable that fits in.
By the way,
go
ahead.
I wanted to step back and answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
It is a 3.0 hub, and I did just buy an external 3.0 device, a CD-ROM, so I need to plug it in to double check that it works. Oh, but otherwise, it's been working fine.
I'd be interested in finding out when, if you hook a USB 3.0 hub into a USB 2.0, what would happen?
It's going to be, I have been doing that.
Oh.
Because I didn't have a USB 3.0 on the other machine. So it's just been operating as a USB 2.0.
And I've been using a USB 3.0 flash drive on a USB 2.0, a USB 2, and a 1.1 also. It just operates at a slow speed.
I am now product managing a product that is a USB hub that doubles as an antivirus scanner.
Oh, that's cool.
It's called the V3 Click. I'm working for a company called OnLab. And you plug it in, and it's only a two-port hub, but that means it doubles that one USB output, and it's a great big button that lights up, and you hit the button, I'm doing it right now, and it scans your system, and when it changes color to tell you the state of what's going on.
Where's the processing coming from the
using some processing of its own and processing on your computer as well. And every time you plug a USB stick into it of any kind downstream, even your iPhone, it scans it before it lets the computer connect to it.
Okay, suppose it scans it and finds something that is...
It can clean it if it knows about it.
Wait, do you have the option of saying, don't touch it?
Yes.
Okay, in other words, it could be, assuming it's a false positive, you don't want to lose it.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a question, too. Are you able to upgrade the software on it?
It upgrades automatically, actually. It's a versionless device, and there's like three upgrades coming this year. We're going to replace the entire code in February. It's a very early version. And then we're replacing again sometime later, and then finally, I think, in August for the next year's version. But it's brand new. And I would be coming in here with... it's so beta right now that I don't want to... It's actually not beta. It's in stores, okay? But it's called V3 Click by OnLab. And it's interesting. It's meant to be for people whom antivirus software is too complicated to run. Now, I'm sorry, BAI listeners, I'm going to get a whole bunch of letters saying I work for this company. I'm just being an advertisement for it. But you know that I'm not particularly endorsing it. I'm just saying it's a USB hub that does antivirus. And you can unplug it, move it to another machine, and then you're protected on that machine.
Okay,
but
Dave.
But you're only protected on the machine that it's plugged into.
Joanne, let me ask a quick question. Do you have any desktop machines?
Not anymore.
Then why were you testing a webcam?
Okay, so...
Because don't your notebooks have built-in cameras?
No, my business machine that I have for one of my jobs did not come with a webcam.
Okay.
So the same webcam will work with a desktop, but I was using it on a laptop.
Okay. Now, did you try to use this webcam on a notebook that already had one?
I did not.
Oh, how would you? Because I would be interested in knowing. Could you disable the existing one to use the new one?
Why would I want to do that? Except to find out if it worked. Seriously.
Well, that's one thing, but also with a webcam. I find that some of the independent webcams, they have the if you move the they pan and they follow your movement, or they have wide angle, narrow angle, and so on. Whereas the webcams built into a unit, it's kind of fixed. It's very generic and not too many options on it. I like to be able to, where if I'm moving from left to right, it follows me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't test it that way, so I can't really answer. I apologize. I mean, to me, I was just making phone calls and, you know, taking pictures and, you know, taking a look at how it went across. I used it mainly for Skype.
Okay. Hey, let me just remind everyone, because we had been off the air for a few minutes, that we are talking to Joanne Witt. She is from, she's our colleague in Houston, Texas, and she spoke briefly about Windows 8 and also a couple of hardware products. And what I'd like you to do when we get you back on air again at some future date, I want you to tell me about the Surface look. I mean, you only gave me the Windows look. Now, how about the Surface look? Do you plan to spend any time on that?
Oh, I love it. I have it up in front of me. I think that's going to be my preferable interface, because when I leave it up, I've got all this stuff going on.
But can
it's the best.
Wait a minute, Joanne. Hold on. I don't have the Surface up in front of me, so I don't know what you mean when you say you can see all the stuff going on.
Okay. So what's happening is that my startup screen is the Surface Book. So I've got my clock there. I've got my social media going across, so it tells me, you know, if something new has come through on Twitter, if something new has come on Facebook that's directed at me. I have a book that I'm in the middle of reading on the Kindle. I have a Google interface that I can use voice activated. I've got a connection to my Skype.
What Joanne is talking about is that rather than have gadgets and open up windows, the Surface interface has a series of tiles on the screen. So the screen is divided into tiles.
Instead of saying tiles, you're talking about... hold on. Tiles is the word that Microsoft uses. Tiles are something that I step on when I'm in the subway. What you mean, little windows?
Yeah, little windows.
Little squares or rectangles. They're little squares or rectangles. Each one represents a program...
So each one is a reduced size window, and you can see what's going on in that window.
Right.
Sometimes they're a window into the program. But
instead of calling them tiles, why didn't they call them window frames? Or why didn't they call them little windows?
I have a better name. Why don't they call it the Metro Look?
Because that means as little as this means. You see, the problem is those of us who we're on radio, we're not on television. You may not have noticed that. But, you know...
But I'm in full color.
When I'm looking at a TV set, they go into something they call a split screen or a multi-split screen, and different things are happening. For instance, they might be showing the pitcher in the main screen and the catcher in a split down in the lower left, and the guys out in right field or in the upper right field. And I understand that when I'm watching it, it's no big deal. But when you're talking about it, you can either make it simple... Well, you can make it complicated, and for some reason, the folks at Microsoft love to make it complicated. Silence.
Right, only the whole screen is divided up into little squares, like a Hershey bar. And each of them has something different going on.
Squares or rectangles.
Yeah, it's mixed sizes.
But,
like a bento bar.
And you can determine what size if you want it to be a square or a rectangle.
When I
was
a very little kid, my mother used to serve me in a dish that had little partitions so that the peas would never mix with the mashed potatoes.
There's your metaphor. They should call it TV dinner.
TV dinner.
Yeah, Joanne, thank you very much. And what I would like to do is that sometime in the future... I would like to have the next installment on your Windows 8 experience because...
Wait, and I have one last question for Joanne.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to know about the keyboard. This is a new keyboard on the 230.
No, it's the same keyboard. It's a 220.
That I read different.
Okay.
Joanne, you have one. The rest of us are just reading
about
it.
I haven't seen the 220. I can tell you I really like this keyboard. It's a nice, strong keyboard. The keys are large.
Yeah, I know that one of the things that you sent me was that you felt that the compared to other brands that you work with, this feels very sturdy.
Yes, it feels solid, and it has a fingerprint recognition, which means that when I go in, it identifies me by my fingerprint. I don't have to type in my password, and I really like that.
That's great.
Well, I'll tell you, what I'd like to see them do is use all 10 of your fingerprints, and if you don't touch type properly, disable your entire machine and give you a demerit.
Why can't there be 20 prints?
Joanne, you know what's going to happen in a couple of years? They're going to use your eyesight as an identifier.
As a retina scan.
A retina scan, right.
Yeah, but somehow I just wouldn't trust letting them use a laser on my retina because I don't trust them.
No,
Stevie understands.
No, I could just say, hey, by the way, I can't use my machine. I just had a cataract operation.
Well, that shouldn't affect the retina, really, Hank.
Well,
it's just the lens.
Well, the lens can be cloudy too. Okay, listen, Joanne, thank you very much.
Your earlier question. I look forward to coming back and talking about Windows 8 when I'm a little bit. Further along the knowledge curve.
And when you do, keep in mind what tips you have, what do's and don'ts you have, and we really want to hear from you on it.
Well, I'm taking it on the road with me for a month, in the month of January, so...
Where are you going this time?
Computer.
Where are you
going? I'm going to Oaxaca for a month.
Oh, Oaxaca. Oh, boy, that's fantastic.
You know, the only Oaxacan restaurant in Manhattan closed. It was very sad. Zabella.
You know, I live out here in California, and I have never been to Mexico. And yesterday was my 58th birthday.
Excuse me. You've never been to Mexico, and you live in California?
No. You live in Mexico.
I mean, I've been to Cota Canabalu Sabah, but I haven't been to Mexico.
That's also fantastic.
Well, listen, Joanne, thank you very much for taking the time with us. And we'll be hearing from you next time. And we want to hear more about your experience with Windows 8.
Okay, and thanks for having me. It was nice talking to you, gentlemen, and the audience.
All right, thank you very much.
They have the internet on computers now.
David? David?
Yeah?
Now, I want to segue into, tell me more about that malware.
Because we
tantalize the audience. You gave 1 minute on it. We got cut off while we were talking.
Before we change the subject entirely, I've just been thinking about something while I... Hello, Stevie? I'm clicking in and out here.
Yeah, but I can hear you fine.
Okay, that's good. It's the jack on this in this
show. Sure, anyway, it is.
I was about to tell the folks out there in Radidio Land about 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021.
I missed it. What was that number?
917-580-6021.
Oh, wait. Waiting for my pen. Okay, it's working now.
And
isn't that 917?
9-1- That's not 917-580-6021.
6021.
You know what's going to happen? Someone's going to come up with some kind of an acronym using those numbers. Or they're going to say, hey, there's a mega jackpot coming up. Maybe we could play with those numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, if you do play with these numbers and you hit the jackpot, think of WBAI.
Oh, yeah. First thing.
917-580-6021.
Now, I'm not just giving out those numbers because that gives you 10 numbers that you can play the morning number with. I'm giving out those numbers because if you call them right now, somebody is going to pick up the phone and say, WBAI, can I help you? And they can help you. They can.
Oh, why can't it be WBAI, may I help you?
Because I can't do a falsetto.
Well.
I can do a falsetto. WBAI, can I help you?
And the way that they can help you is they can take
that's if a Muppet answers the phone.
They can take your name, your address, your credit card number, and your desire of a gift. Because Hank has put together
Christmas.
4 or 5 gifts for those of you who are good enough to support us. Hank, would you tell us what those gifts
are? What are they?
Well, first of all, we have the WBAI buddy that we are asking everyone to consider.
That is a way of automatically giving a small donation every month.
What else? I got that one.
The USB toolkit with the built-in rescue kit boot up. It's $100 a donation.
That's good.
What does that do for me?
Oh, there's tons of programs.
Well, you
on.
Say it's got a rescue, boot up. What's a rescue boot up kit?
If your machine is not running properly, or you forgot the password, or any things that where you have trouble with the operating system, and if it's an x86 or Intel based system, you can boot up from the DVD. The USB.
Is that for any x86 based system or only a Windows one?
Neither. Intel.
What, you're telling me that if my Intel x86 system is running on OS X, I can still use this?
Because it's the Intel instruction set. It's an x86 instruction set.
What about if it's the Android system?
If it's running Android under the x86 architecture, the answer is yes.
And you have a CD to put it in.
I mean, if you think about it, Joe.
Now, wait a minute. You said the Intel, but isn't it true that AMD also runs under that architecture?
Yes. Wait, Joe. What we're saying is that x86 is a set of hardware instructions. When you talk about Android or Windows or OS X, that is an those are operating systems that uses those set of instructions.
Well, let me get you totally confused then, because I have a machine.
No, Joe, you do a great job confusing the audience by asking all those questions.
I have a machine here, Hank, that when it boots up, it says it's running Tegra architecture.
That is not x86 architecture.
But I thought Tegra was a video
animal that lives in India.
Nope.
It's an orange and striped cat.
It's a name. It's a name of a processor that uses ARM, A-R-M architecture.
What does that mean?
It's a different company that came up with a architecture.
Is there one that has a leg architecture? Why is this an ARM architecture?
The ARM is an abbreviation. Don't ask me what it stands for.
What does it stand for?
It's actually a risk. It's risk machine. Risk machine. Okay, it's a risk machine.
Risk,
architecture.
Of course, me is another acronym. We're falling into the
reduce
acronym.
Instruction computer. Okay, reduce instruction set computer. Now, if you want to know
what the processors that you find in lots of portable devices. Right.
Okay, get back to the GIFs.
Well, Joe goes around in a virtual loop, so we end up, okay?
Actually, we are, because I
took my Tegra operating machine here, and I went to Wikipedia, and Wikipedia said, this article is too technical for most readers to understand.
Good, stop right there. Let's not go any further, Joe.
The ARM architecture describes a family of computer processors designed in accordance with a RISC CPU design developed by a British company called ARM Holdings.
And then you're going to say, what does RISC mean? And then we go into this virtual.
ARM is an acronym for Advanced RISC Machine.
Well, what does RISC mean then?
And originally that was known as the Acorn RISC machine.
No, RISC stands for Reduced Instruction Set Computer.
No, I'm talking about ARM.
The very unfortunate thing is
Hank doesn't know the answer to these things and he doesn't want to learn.
Well, wait a minute.
I want to know about the gifts that people can buy me.
How's the studio doing, you guys?
Pretty good.
What happened?
We've got
the phones now.
Yeah, we got phones on FiOS.
USB toolkit.
So your phones are coming in on FiOS, but you're no longer connected to your old 212 numbers right now.
We don't have Verizon working with the standard numbers. Okay. Let me finish. Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Before Joe spins me into another loop. All right. USB. Okay. U2 now. Are you getting into the?
Come on with the gifts.
Well, first of all, we got to see some people making some serious phone calls. We got to raise some serious money.
I want to hear about the gifts. Come on. What else you got for me?
USB toolkit with a built-in rescue kit. The rescue kit is the ability to boot up when your operating system doesn't boot up.
Is that the full Trinity rescue kit, or is that a different one?
It is the Trinity rescue kit pre-installed, okay? Then we have the DVD toolkit that has all those wonderful things that we put together.
Well, wait a minute. The reason it's on a DVD is because Hank put together almost 4 gigabytes of files. That's a hell of a lot of files.
Why couldn't we have 4 gigabytes?
It is 4 gigabytes.
Okay, he said almost 4 gigabytes.
It might even be a little bit more than 4 gigabytes. He adds to it every day.
As long as I get 4 gigabytes.
You guys are going to kill this, okay? I can just imagine the listener saying, What are you guys talking about? All right?
We're talking about gifts that the listeners buy me.
This is holiday time. Stevie's got a stocking hanging by the fireplace with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon will be there.
Now, if you stop with the digression, let me quickly go through it.
Stevie, do you have digression?
I'm being treated for it.
You could be
You're being treated for regression.
Regression. I thought it was digression. Now I got regression.
I hate regression.
When that happens.
Okay, let's be serious, all right? We're talking about 917-580-6021. We do have a number of premiums available to you.
And what's the other gifts?
USB toolkit with the built-in rescue kit pre-installed on it that allows you to boot up your system without having an operating system on your hard drive. DVD toolkit, which is all those wonderful things that we put together in terms of software, white papers, and all the other things are hard to get. And we give you also a CD that has the password bypass so that if you can't...
Wait a minute. What's the bypass?
That is great.
I was just going to talk about it. So if you Let me finish. I will do it, okay?
No.
No, no. You introduce something. Now tell us what you introduced.
You do it, okay?
Okay, the password bypass. You really put the CD in, and then you can get into the machine if you don't have the password. That's pretty easy to understand, and it's great. I love having it.
It's a $75 requested donation. We also have that same CD password bypass, if that's all you need, for a $50 donation. And we have separately that USB Trinity Rescue Kit available on a USB drive, also for $50.
Incidentally, the one that Hank put onto a USB drive is a terrific thing to have. I keep one in my wallet. I have one of those little tiny USB drives. I keep one in my wallet. You never know when you're going to want to use it. It is a really great Christmas gift.
This is WBAI FM 99.5, New York. And right now it's 8 o'clock and it's a personal computer show.
I knew that.
But do we have theme music?
We have people tuning in now thinking that we are just starting the show.
Well, we are just starting the show, and our engineer will play the theme music and we'll say, hi, this is Joe King and welcome to the personal computer show. What is going on now?
I think maybe the CD player got soggy in the storm.
No, I know it did. Everything here got soggy in the storm. We have barely gotten around to...
For those who are joining us now, this is Hank Key. I'm in the studio. Stevie DB is behind the engineering console. Our gracious host, Joe King, is on to my left. He's always to my left. And we have out in the left coast, David Perry.
Who's to my left?
That's right, Hank. I'm here in Grover's Mill, New Jersey, and we're looking at a great light in the sky.
Let me tell you, folks, that for those of you who have not been listening for the last hour, we went on an hour early because due to the influence of Sandy, and I don't mean the little puppy dog who's in Little Orphan Annie.
Arf.
Sandy says arf. No, I mean that superstorm that left so many people devastated. It also devastated us, and we're just coming back together now for the first time. If you would care to help us get through this, remember it was back during the onset of Sandy that we had our last fundraiser, and we had to cut it short. People were really in desperate shape, and financially we're not much better off than a lot of the other people here in the New York metropolitan area. If you care to help us out, 917-580-6021 is the way you can help us out. We've set up some special phones with some very special people answering them. And if you make a pledge of anything from 50 to 100 to 1,000 to $1 million, Hank has come up with some gifts for you. But, you know, the one way of being sure all year that you're helping WBAI present programming like the personal computer show, like Off the Hook, like Democracy Now, all the wonderful programs you hear on the air here, you could become what they now call the BAI buddy. And that's somebody who makes a pledge of so much a month to be automatically taken out of their checking account, their credit card, their electronic transfer, as little as $10 a month. And you become a BAI buddy. It gives you a card that offers you a discount at museums, and gift shops and restaurants around town. I'm sorry, Stevie just did something that was the equivalent of standing in Macy's window and dropping his pants. I just lost what I was about to
well,
say.
Well, okay.
Michael's on the phone.
Yes, we have Michael Horowitz joining us. Hi there, Michael.
Good evening, hey, Hank. Good evening, Joe.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to pick up on what Joe said. Another way of saying that with the WBAI buddy system, think of it a little differently, okay? Do you think you can afford to donate a cup of coffee once a week from Starbucks to WBAI? That's what it comes out to.
That is really what it comes
out to. Try to get it in the envelope.
Well, there's an easier way than getting it in the envelope, but that's what it comes to.
No, really. So think of it as a cup of coffee a week.
A lot of people I know, even down here, that there used to be a Starbucks right on the corner. Unfortunately, it got washed away a couple of weeks ago. Did you notice that, Hank? It's completely gone.
They're rebuilding it now.
Are they rebuilding? Yeah. But at any rate, I know people who go in every morning, 5 days a week, and have a cup of, they come up with names. They don't have a cup of coffee.
Multiple.
They have a non-fat latte with an extra Americano, Framistas in the Grammar Studio at the Habestamus on the roof, and they make sure it's a grande.
That's about a Henway.
You got it. At any rate, if they have one...
I would get up tonight in mine.
If they get one less a week, not of the grande, but of the small, tall. They call it the small at all. And instead put that money to WBAI. BAI would be happy to pick it up from you. You don't have to mail it. You just give them your credit card number, and once a month they'll deduct it. And you'll be a BAI buddy. What do I mean by buddy? I mean somebody, you can depend on your buddies. It's somebody you can count on. We could count on you.
917-580-6021. Please call. Please support WBAI. Please support the Personal Computer Show.
Now I'm going to surprise you, because I'm going to say, I know that you, the person I'm talking to, can't afford that $120 a year, even though it's only $250 a week. But you can afford $25 a year. So you can call up and pledge $25. You become a member of BAI. That means you can vote for the management, the, what are they called, board members, the... I just mailed in a ballot. I don't even know what that was a ballot for. I just mailed one in, though, to BAI. But with a $25 pledge, you can become a full member.
No, it's Pacifica-wide, because I got one, too.
There you go.
Yeah,
now, if you can afford a little bit more than that, and I know it's tough times for everybody. As a matter of fact, there were folks out on the street this morning when I went to the supermarket. They weren't asking me to donate to anything. They were asking me for a cup of coffee, and I bought a few of them. Times are tough out there, but if... you have an extra $50, $75, $100. Hank has put together gifts that you can get, not just for you, but they make great stocking stuffers. And we're getting into that time of year when people want to stuff their stockings. Hank, why don't you tell us about them? Or if you don't want to tell us, Hank, I'll tell you, they can call 917-580-6021, and they'll tell us about them.
We have to
interrupt.
Go ahead, Michael.
Just as a point of note, you may want to mention the phone number more often than you normally do, because it's not on the website.
And is there a reason why it's not on the website?
I have no idea.
I have none either, except that this is a special number.
I know why.
Why is it why?
It's only a temporary number, that's why. It's 917-580-6021.
Now, Michael, you're the webmaster of the Personal Computer Show, in addition to several other things. But do we have Hank's premium list up on our website?
Yes, we do.
So they can go, if they don't want to go to 917-580-6021, they can go first to PC Radio Show, PCRadioShow.org, and click on... What do they click on, Michael?
It's membership premiums. It's one of the buttons on the left-hand side.
So go find where, go there and push Michael's button.
Push his button. Hey, Michael.
I wonder you're good at doing radio.
Hey, listen, Michael, there's one thing that I do want to pursue with you, because you have some working knowledge on it. What is a Chromebook?
Oh, wait, before you do that, Michael, Hank asked me that question just before we went on the air, and I gave him the completely, I knew exactly what it was. Unfortunately, what I told him was totally wrong. So why don't you tell us what is a Chromebook? Because nobody knows.
It's hard to describe because it's a very, very different computing device. David still on the line, by the way?
I am, right here. I was just looking at Larry Magid's Chromebook. And by the way, he says, hi, Hank and Joe.
David Perry is going to hate a Chromebook. Because Chromebooks are impossible to get viruses. So an entire industry disappear if Chromebooks became popular.
I'd find something else to do.
But anyway, yes, Chromebooks are extremely unusual computing device.
Wait a minute, how can they not be unusual
in terms of the way they look. A Chromebook looks just like a laptop computer. In fact, it looks very much like a MacBook Air. Just like Windows, Ultrabooks are kind of copying the look and feel of the MacBook Air. So, too, has Google and Samsung copied it with their Chromebooks. So it looks just like a MacBook Air, but it has a few more USB ports. But what makes it very unusual is the operating system that it runs. It doesn't run OS X from Apple. It doesn't run Windows from Microsoft. It doesn't even run Linux. It runs an operating system that Google created called Chrome OS. Technically, it's a modified version of Linux, but it's very, very different from all the other versions of Linux that have come before it.
Is it similar to Android in concept and architecture?
No.
Totally different.
No. There are two major points about a Chromebook. One big upside and one big downside. So do you want the good news first or do you want the bad news first?
Give me the good news first.
The good news is that the Chrome OS operating system requires absolutely no maintenance. No care and feeding. The end user does not have to do anything. There's no Windows update. There's no defrags needed. There's no patches needed. Absolutely nothing. It's as if you had a car that you never had to put gas into. That is a radical thing, and that is the big upside to a Chromebook.
Wait. Let me ask a simple question.
You cannot just go get any old software that you're running
and that
from any other platform and run
Chromebook.
It on the Chromebook.
Yes.
Wait, Michael, let me ask you this.
The reason you can't get a virus, David, is because you can't install anything.
Michael, let me ask you.
Yes. Wait a minute.
There's one huge upside, one huge downside.
Hank is having conniption over here. Everybody hold on a second. Hank has a question.
Let me ask this quick question, Michael. If there's a hard disk crash, how do you boot up the system at all?
I believe it has a built-in recovery partition, but I'm not sure.
In other words, it's...
Number one. And number two is the Chromebook is designed so that most of your data does not live on the device. You can store files on the device, but it doesn't have a ton of storage space.
Well, I saw the specs for one of the Chromebooks, the 550, and it did have 300 gigabytes of space for storage.
Okay, that is the cheapest, crummiest, bottom-of-the-line Chromebook. And that model is only $200. Can you imagine a laptop?
No. The one with the 300 odd gigabytes actually was selling for $450.
But no, that's a mistake.
The $200 one did not have that big a hard drive.
No. All right. Do you want to get into the details of the various models, or you want to stick with the big concept?
No, I want to know.
Concept first.
No, you told me what the upside was. Now,
yeah,
what's
no
the,
care and feeding.
No care
Absolutely
and feeding,
not.
Which is pretty big up.
It's a pretty big up.
What's the big down?
The big downside is you can't install any software.
Wait a minute.
Basically, there's a few exceptions, but basically the operating system only runs Google's Chrome web browser.
Well, then
you
what good is it?
Word. You can't install Excel. You want to run Skype? You can't.
I cannot run Skype.
No. You can only run whatever Google's Chrome web browser can run.
Well, can I run...
By and large. There's some minor exceptions. If you have, like, an MP3, it can play it. If you have a Word document, it can display it. You'll be able to edit it.
I work with Google Docs, Google Apps?
Well, yes, of course. Anything the Chrome browser would do... Under OS X, under Windows, under Android, yes, the Chrome browser, that's what it runs. But it basically...
So everything in the cloud I can do.
Only the Chrome browser.
Now,
Wait a minute, you're saying I can't run the Mozilla browser?
No, you cannot.
Michael, what...
Only
what,
runs
what,
the Chrome browser.
What if I want to edit a JPEG?
You have to find a website that allows you to do that.
No, thank you.
Oh, I see. Everything is in the cloud.
Everything is in the cloud. So it is not a great first computer, although a lot of technical people have written reviews and said they got it to work as their main primary computer.
Really?
But I think it's far better as a second computer.
I can see Stevie looking for Photoshop on it.
Exactly. Flight
no
simulator. Nothing.
To make an analogy, assume you had an automobile
that you couldn't take out the showroom.
Gas into.
You can't take out the showroom.
You never had to change the tires. You never had to change the spark plugs. The automobile always ran. You never had to do anything to it. But the flip side to that is it only holds one person.
That can't go anywhere.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things at an automobile that only holds one person you can't do with it. But still, the other side is it needs no maintenance. It needs no gas. It's always going to be there. So that's kind of where the Chromebook is. That's the upside and the downside.
No, thank you.
Well, who is the intended market?
You know, that's a very good question.
It's a future device.
I think Google screwed that up initially.
It's
for
the future.
They were selling it to schools and universities, and they were selling it to large businesses. And I think that was a mistake. So who is the market? I don't think Google knows who the market is. I'll tell you who I think it is and why I think it's a great thing. Well, to bring David back into it, you can't get a virus. It's absolutely impossible.
You can't get any work done.
So if you're doing financial transactions, such as online banking, there is no safer computer known to man than to use a Chromebook. You cannot get a virus.
I think it's fantastic if you use it for business where they want to stop people from doing certain things.
And
once they generate
marketing it to large businesses, and it may be appropriate for large businesses.
Once they make applications and software for that particular business and put it in that computer and have sell it to that whole corporation, it'll be fine. That's exactly what they want.
David, I have a question for you. If you use this Chromebook in wireless mode through the cloud to do banking, can you compromise the system?
He said no.
No, I'm talking to David. You dropped David?
No, I didn't drop David.
Did David drop David?
You dropped David.
David, are you there?
How did I drop David?
I'm here. I just didn't get a word in edgewise.
Well, don't get to the edgewise. Go straight up and down.
Well, I am edgewise. I'm having the back problem right now, so I am declining as I speak to you. Of course, the Chromebook does accept web-based apps and does run JavaScript and does a bunch of other things.
It does JavaScript.
It would certainly be possible to plant malware on it.
It does Flash. It does not do Silverlight.
Wait a minute. It does do Java or does not do Java?
It does JavaScript. That's part of a web browser.
JavaScript and Java, two different things.
No,
it does not do Java, however. And Java is what infected, you know, 500,000 Macintosh computers a while back.
Right, but JavaScript in the Windows, Michael, is much more dangerous than Java.
Yeah, not on the Chrome OS, it's not. Why is it dangerous?
And the main thing protecting the Chrome OS is that it's such a tiny minority of computer users.
That's part of it, but Google has also souped up the security of Chrome OS.
Well, good for them. But Microsoft continually soups up the security on Windows, and it gets hammered.
Yeah, but Windows and OS X and Linux are general-purpose operating systems. Chrome OS is not. Chrome OS is designed just to run the Chrome browser with a few
The whole OS is based around the browser, and everything you do in web connection. So it's basically a cloud device.
Basically, yes.
Yeah,
it does have some offline processing. And I believe some of Google Docs can actually be done offline. And as I said, it can play music. If you have MP3s on a USB flash drive, you can plug it in and play your music.
Can you watch movies?
Yeah, it supports Flash. I'm not sure about offline, whether you can play AVI files or not. I don't know.
Well, you know, it comes, as far as I can tell, online from Google, it comes in three flavors. It comes in the Samsung Chromebook, the Samsung Chromebook 550, and the Acer C7 Chromebook. And that ranges in price from under $200 to over $400. My question is, again, forget you, Michael, forget Hank. Talk about people like Stevie and me, really naive users who don't know beans. Is this the computer for us?
I know you're joking about Stevie and you, but that's another perfect case for it. Because it requires no maintenance, it's a perfect computer for non-technical users.
But
there isn't much to learn about it.
Well, there is, because non-technical users might be using a computer at the office or their husband's or wife's computer. And this is, as you said, Hank, there was a few years ago, there was a computer for non-computer users that was sort of like a set-top box on your TV set. It was called Web.
Yeah, it was a
web something.
It was basically.
There is still something like that. Yeah. I remember reading about it. It's targeted specifically at like senior citizens.
Yeah. Now here we're talking about. You're telling me that I can't install anything, so immediately I'm limited. If in an office type product, I'm pretty much limited to those that are in the cloud, like Google Docs, or there's one or two others. What is it, Stevie?
No, you're not going to be limited because it's perfect for business. If you've got a big corporation, These computers are always under maintenance. You know, somebody on the floor always has a problem with their computer. If you have a big corporation and you get them to write the software that you need to do what you need it to do, it's going to work perfectly without the maintenance required.
So what you're saying is if it gets popular, it'll become like the thin client of 10, 15 years ago.
Everything will be in the cloud. You know what? We used to, before computers...
We didn't call it the cloud. We called it a network.
No, we called it a dumb terminal.
Yes.
Network.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be the new dumb terminal.
It does have some offline capabilities.
Well,
and it is a computer.
Michael, my doctor was a beta test site for the Chromebook when it first came out. He didn't like it. And let me tell you why he didn't like it.
Before you tell me, let me just put this in perspective. Joan Witt mentioned that she didn't get a Windows 8 machine with a touchscreen because it was the first generation.
Correct.
Chromebooks just in October, so a month and a half ago or whatever, they just came out with their third generation. So you say someone was beta testing it. That was probably the first generation. And we're now up to the third generation. And they do keep getting better.
Well, let me tell you what he didn't like about it. He does a lot of traveling, this doctor. And there were sites where he could not get to the cloud to get patient information.
So what's that phone number again?
917.
You almost slipped.
917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. In Connecticut, you can call 917-580-6021. In New Jersey, please call 917-580-6021.
What if you're in the Bronx?
The Bronx and Brooklyn have a special number, 917-580-6021. And Nassau County should instead call 917-580-6021.
What if you're listening over the internet?
Then you should go to pcradioshow.org and click on the appropriate button that Michael has placed someplace on that page.
What if you're listening to the live stream?
Same thing.
Then I think you were missing part of the show earlier on, and you can get that show by listening now.
And if you're in Huntington Beach?
917-580-6021.
There might be somebody listening in Huntington Beach, you know.
Michael, to get back to the Chromebook, I have a question. I have not seen, other than at the Google site, that is the Google webpage and the Google store.
Oh, let me mention what that is. That's google.com/Chromebook is the main website. It's C-H-R-O-M-E, and then book is in novel book.
Mm-hmm. Right, and there are a couple of different ways of getting there. But if you get to that Google Chromebook website, you'll see that they are selling online three models of Chromebook. But are any of them in the stores, Michael? Have you actually seen one in a store?
I have not. I have read that they are in some Best Buy stores, but not in the one by me.
Well, I made a trip to one.
Of course, if you saw it, you'd think it was a MacBook Air because it looks almost exactly the same.
Well, actually, it looked like the Acer Chromebook. That's another story.
Michael, let me ask a question in a different way. What's to prevent Google from taking the Chrome operating system and put it on any typical Intel notebook?
Probably nothing.
I'm surprised that they're not selling an operating system then.
The advantage of having the operating system and the hardware merged together is the advantage that Apple has with their Macintosh machines. There's no driver issues to worry about.
No, I'm saying the same thing.
No drivers to update also, too.
I'm saying the same thing. Why not just sell an operating system then?
I don't know. I can't speak for Google.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think they're doing a good job of selling the Chromebook. I think that a lot of people would be best served with it and don't know about it.
Okay, Michael, you told us what was good, what was bad. Let me ask a simple question. What do you like about it, and what don't you like about it?
Well, first of all, when you actually use it, it's fun to use because it boots up in a couple seconds and shuts down in a couple seconds. They're now in the third generation. All the first generation models had nothing but solid-state hard drives. The second generation was nothing but solid-state hard drives. The third generation, the absolute cheapest one, the $199 model from Acer, that has a standard hard drive spinning, whatever. But the third generation model from Samsung, which is $250, that has the solid state hard drive. And because the hardware is integrated with the software, it boots up and shuts down in just seconds. I can't tell you what a pleasure that is. Especially, I know you're Windows users. You can't imagine what it's like.
Well, I don't know. I happen to have a notebook, and my boot up time is about 19, 20 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And my shutdown time is about 22 seconds.
Yeah. I could boot it up, read a web page, and shut it down before your machine was booted up.
But I'm running Windows 7.
I actually like using a Chromebook. I have one, and I've used it for quite a few months. You know what else is very good about
Michael,
it?
Michael, you do consulting. Have you ever tried using it for work?
For work?
Yeah, to make money.
No, because my clients tend to be Windows people.
Isn't that the acid test?
No, not necessarily.
No?
It's also very good at sharing. Unlike, you know, with Windows you can log on with different user IDs, but Windows doesn't do a great job of segregating things. A Chromebook does an outstanding job. You log on to a Chromebook with your Gmail account, and it's guaranteed that one user will never see any files from the other user. That's part of what Google has done to Chrome OS. Everything is stored encrypted and completely separate, so you really don't have to worry. If you have files you don't want your wife to see, you can give her the Chromebook. She logs on with her Gmail account, and she'll never see those files that you have stored on the machine.
Oh, okay, Michael, you just brought up a question. Can I work on files to prevent the feds from getting to the information?
To prevent the feds from getting at the email? If they don't know your Gmail account, they're not going to see the files on that machine. Yeah, it's stored encrypted.
Well, by the way, did you know that the feds got got 1.7 million requests granted to them on looking at private files last year? That's a lot of files they were looking at. And,
yeah.
That's
another thing about a Chromebook. It has what's called a guest mode, where you can use the machine without logging on with a Gmail account.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you have, it's kind of like, what is each web browser called? Privacy mode? I forget the term that the different web browsers use. But this is the exact same thing. If you log on as a guest, you can't save any bookmarks, but all the cookies get deleted and all the other stuff gets deleted. So if you want to visit some website and you're either afraid the website may be malicious or you want to make sure no one ever knows you were at that website, you can log on in guest mode.
Okay. Michael, thank you very much for giving that information. And I know that you do a great job for us on the on our PCRadioshow.org website. And we're at the mark where... we are, and let me just make a quick announcement here that we are not on the air next week. So I have a bunch of announcements to make for the user organization.
Well, before you go into that, Hank, I'd like to also thank Michael for joining us tonight. And for those people who want more of Michael's opinions, and they does have opinions, they should go to what's it called? Defensive Computing. At blog, the Defensive Computing blog. I think it's a Computer World, Michael?
Yes, it's blogs.computerworld.com.
And if you read his columns there, you, even if you're totally uninterested in defensive computing, you're going to learn a lot. I certainly did. Defensive Computing by Michael Horowitz, and he is also our webmaster. Thank you and good night, Michael.
One last thing, if I could. You know David Pogue, who writes for the New York Times, of course.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
He has a separate blog, which is just on the Times website that's not in the printed paper. 6 days ago, he wrote a column about Chromebooks. If anyone's curious, if they go to blogs....
I looked it up. Thanks.
Pogue.
Blogs, say it again. Blogs.what?
Yeah, I think it's... I forget what it is. It's
New York Times
800 blogs.
Well, what you do is Google David Pogue... Chromebook.
Blog. Chromebook.
Yeah, and I also think you can get to it by going to theNewYorkTimes.com. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much, Michael.
You're very welcome, Joe. Have a good night.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Bye, Mike.
Okay, bye-bye.
We are not going to be on the air next week.
Why not?
Because we've been preempted for a special show that the station feels that They want to run to raise money because we're not raising money for them.
No, that's true. We're not. I'm looking at the tally board, and virtually nobody has called in. One or two of you, maybe three of you have. And obviously that's because you don't really care whether or not we go off the air. And so next week, as a special favor to you, they're going to take us off the air. Whether we'll be back on the air really also depends upon you. Call in to 917-580-6021. All kidding aside, you don't want the premiums Hank's put together, you don't have to take them. I want your money for the station, whether or not you want the premiums. There's only one way we're going to stay on the air. We've been on the air for close to 30 years. Maybe our time has come. But I think there's enough of you who would really still like to hear us. Call 917-580-6021 or go to pcradioshow.org. I know some of you will be listening tomorrow and the next day we're no longer on the air, because you're going to be downloading it from the website. But please, 917-580-6021.
We have,
you know, it's funny because Pacifica Radio has played a large part in my life. I've been listening to it since I was a kid, which was quite a while ago. I just had my 58th birthday. And
happy birthday.
Thanks. And it's in not just this station, not just WBAI, but all the Pacifica stations are in big, big trouble because charitable giving in general has gone down, and more people, I think, are paying attention to their computers than listening to the radio. I think most of the listeners we get are on their computers when they're listening. So this raises a huge dilemma. I mean, if is terrestrial radio, is ground-based radio, and thank you, Michael, for the term terrestrial radio, is it worth it? But the thing is, I'm